As we all get settled back into our seats, we are going to go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And this past week, we did something. I think I'm on. Hey, Jacob, can you check my mic to make sure it's turned up? Just like at art camp, right? If you hear my voice, clap your hand. Hey, there you go. There it works. Okay, so we are going to get settled back down. Man, strawberry desserts, they just wound people up. Oh, we had a wonderful week this past week at art camp, and we are going to be sharing everything we learned this past week. The kiddos learned, and even all just that we did. We will return next week to our series over the spiritual disciplines, the practices, and the holy habits of the faith. And as we'll continue to discuss that spiritual discipline of prayer and cultivating a healthy life of prayer. But there is something that we have to learn from what happened this past week, to learn from our kiddos as they learned about some wonderful things. So, hey, kids, you guys ready? Yeah. All right, so I want you all to come up here. And I want you to stand around your beautiful group project you guys did this year. And so I need this. So, yes, Lucas, you can come up. You guys did such an awesome job during art camp, all your craft projects. If you haven't had a chance to check out the back table yet, please go back there before leaving tonight. And so we did a lot of things at art camp, but the first thing we did before we did anything is we learned about the first instrument that God gave us. Does anybody remember what that is?
Voice.
Your voice, yes. He gave us the ability to praise him with our voices. And so we're going to share. Lot of things, as I said this past week, in our music. We learned that we should be followers of Jesus, that he gives us the best way to live. And, you know, kids, how do we know that God cares about us so much that he would provide us the best way to live? How do we know that God cares for us and loves us?
Sacrifice?
Who sacrificed? Jesus, yes, because of Jesus coming, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life and not perish. And the beautiful thing about this is he's not just preparing a place for us in the future, he's preparing a place for us now. Here, right here on this earth, as his kingdom is breaking through in power, and we can trade our sorrows, our shame. We can trade our sickness and pain and worship the Lord in all things, right? So we're going to sing, "I'm Trading My Sorrows Now." That's all the songs we learned, right, guys?
No.
Oh, that's right. We learned "I Want to Be a Hypocrite."
No.
Because they're not hip with it.
No.
"I Want to Be a Pharisee."
No.
"A Goat."
Sheep.
Why do we want to be sheep?
Because God is the great shepherd.
That's exactly. You guys totally rock. We did. We learned about how we want to be sheep because Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And because he's the good shepherd, we have become the sheep of his pasture. You guys, be ready, because we're going to have that test that we talked about on Friday. I'm going to be asking you guys a lot of questions, and I'm going to need you to shout it out. Okay, can you do that for me? Can you shout out the answers to the questions I'm going to be asking? Because we're going to be talking about what we learned this past week. Particularly, we learned a whole lot. Our theme for this year's art camp was that God gives people skills and art to make art. Art that glorifies him and reveals him to the whole world. We see this in our passage, which is from what again? Where's our theme verse from? 31. Exodus 31, 2 through 6, which says, "See, I have called by name." We learned Bezalel
a whole lot.
And I have filled
for this year's art camp was that God gives people
with knowledge
skills
and all craftsmanship to devise what? Designs. And behold, I have appointed with him, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. Kids, what was God calling them to make? Do you remember? What were they being told to make? Well, artistic designs for what? Does anybody remember? Not the house of the Lord, but close, the tent of meeting. They were asking, you know, God was commanding them to make the tent of meeting. And you know what? God doesn't just give art abilities to people. He gives all sorts of abilities for the purpose of worship, which that's what the tent of meeting was for, so that the people could come and meet and be with God. And he gives us all these wonderful abilities, not only to lead ourselves into worship with him, but to lead others. We are called to worship and honor him with our lives, to live the life that he's called us to. Not only does he call us, though, he empowers us through his Holy Spirit and equips us to do it. God's the one that calls, God's the one that empowers, and God's the one that equips when we choose to live for him and not ourselves. In this, we are made into God's masterpieces. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship." Now, this is another word for masterpiece, because in Greek, it's poemia. Can anybody guess what poemia stands for in English? Poem. Yeah, it means poem, and it's also a word that translates to masterpiece. So we could actually say, "For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus." Created in who? Christ Jesus. "For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God calls, and he equips us, and he empowers us to do this. Have you ever felt like you weren't a masterpiece? I know I have. There's been multiple times in my life, kiddos, I haven't felt like a big masterpiece. But you know the beautiful thing, like Miss Aida taught us the very first night? God doesn't make what? God doesn't make junk, nor does God make mistakes. Each and every one of you is his masterpiece, made to be uniquely you. Which, once again, is what Aida taught us the very first night when we did, when we learned about what it meant to be made in the image of something. Image of what? The image of God. Yes, kids, feel free to shout out those answers as we get them. We were made in his image. As Genesis 1:26 through 27 speaks this truth to us. "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. He made us in his image. Out of all the things God created, he made us like him. Not that he made us God, but that he made us in his image. That makes us pretty darn special, don't you think, kids?
Yeah.
Makes us pretty darn special. What are some synonyms that Miss Aida taught us about image? What's another word that means image?
Picture.
Copy. Representation. Does anybody, if I had a mirror, what does it mean? Reflection. It also could mean something that starts with M. An in An in. We did it on the first night with our stamps. Or impression, but imprint. That he made us in his imprint. And that's what we did the very first night. We did that with what?
Stamps.
We made stamps, and we made these beautiful and wonderful cards for our loved ones and for kids all around the world for Operation Christmas Child. And this connected back to our theme of how Bezalel and Aholiab were commanded to imprint all kinds of designs on the various things they were told to craft for the Tent of Meeting. So why stamps? What do stamps do? They copy, they imprint, they leave a mark, the mark you want them to leave. And God left his imprint. He left his mark on each and every one of our lives. And we have the blessing to be his image to the whole world, to reveal him to everyone around us. But have we done a good job at this, kids? No? Yeah, I heard one yes, but you know, the answer is no, we really have it. Why is that? Why haven't we done a good job at it? Say it loudly.
Sin.
Yes, sin. Yes, sin. And what does sin do? Remember what it does to us and God? It separates us from God. Great job, Felix. We've been separated from God. And yes, we were made in this wonderful, beautiful image by God. But our sin was like taking a big black paintbrush to a masterpiece painting and just painting all over it and destroying it. More on this to come later. But this brings us to our second night. Does anybody remember what we talked about and did the second night? Colors? Tie-dye. No one forgets tie-dye night. We had a lot of fun on tie-dye night. And many of you are wearing the shirts from tie-dye night, unless your mom lost them, as Phoebe said. The kids made these beautiful shirts and also bags and scarves, a lot of which that are getting shipped all around the world once again for Operation Christmas Child. And you know, you guys were doing a mission this whole time, that you were serving others and serving the Lord this whole time, and how awesome is that? On Tuesday night, Miss Jeanette Kitterman taught us a wonderful lesson about how God gave us color. This connected back to our theme because we learned how they were commanded to use many different colors for the various things they made. And, you know, colors are just colors, right? They don't have any special meanings. Wrong! Your daughter just told me I was wrong. What was purple used for? Royalty. What about silver? Purity. What about red?
Sacrifice.
Yes, sacrifice. What about green? Do we remember green?
Growth
and praise. Yes, growth and praise. All of which we find definitions that are used in the Bible. The Bible is what tells us what colors mean. And God created color, right? Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
How did God create color?
By making light.
Light doesn't make color.
Yeah, it does.
What do you mean it makes color?
It makes rainbows.
Yes, Atreus?
When tides into water, our silver sky after a big rainstorm, and the sun shines over, it makes a rainbow because the light
shines over. Yes. Absolutely. And we had a wonderful talk on the final evening of art camp about black and white. What is black? Nothing. It's the absence of all color. And yes, it represents sin. It represents darkness. However, what is white? Represents all the colors. And, you know, God gave us color because he made light. And this is what the Gospel of John says about this that we talked about on Friday night. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why does the darkness not beat the light? Why does the light always beat the darkness?
Because the light is God.
Well, yes, the light is God. Yes, absolutely, Jacqueline. But also, color. Black is the absence of color. God brought us life and light in our dark world. We can come out of darkness now and into the light because of who? Jesus, yes, because he is the light that John is talking about here. Jesus is the light, just like Paul teaches us in Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus fixes what we've done wrong. Jesus washes out our sin. How does he do this? The color red? Sacrifice. He gave himself for us. He paid our penalty. He took our punishment so that we can once again be brought back into a right relationship with him, how God intended for it to be. Because God knows exactly how things are supposed to be. He is the creator of all things. This brings us to day three, where we learned a very important lesson. Does anybody remember what we learned on day three?
Knitting.
Well, in a way, weaving. And what was it about weaving that we learned?
That we were weaved,
woven together in our mother's womb. This is what it says in Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Once again, this beautiful truth that Miss Julie brought up to us, that God created you uniquely you. He created you to be you. Each and every one of us is made uniquely by God, and that's an amazing thing, right? And it affirmed everything we talked about on day one, also what Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. What's another word for workmanship? Masterpiece. For we are his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Once again, that's pretty awesome. So let's talk about weaving real quick. Who here was an immediate pro? Just a show of hands. So Declan was an immediate pro. Who here got it after a while? Who here is still trying to figure it out? Weaving can be a really difficult thing, actually, and it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of concentration. And you know what that teaches us about God? He was focused. He paid attention when he made you. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly who you were going to be. And this connected back to our theme verse, because Bezalel and Oholiab were to weave all kinds of things, like the curtains and everything for the tent, and they had to do it exactly how God told them, because God knew exactly how it needed to be. And God knows what he made us for and how he made us to live. He knows the best way to live, which is why he calls us to follow him. So do you believe that God knows best? Do you? So the big question that we all have to ask ourselves today is, do our lives show that we believe this? Are we actually living in such a way where we believe that God truly knows what's best for our lives, so that we are following him, living for him, because he does. He knows what's best. What do we do, though, that shows that we really have trouble believing in this? Sin. Yes, we sin. We disobey God. We still try to do things our own way when God has given us and shown us the best way. Does God want us to be stuck in sin and living in the worst of ways? No, he doesn't. He doesn't want us to be stuck. Absolutely not. God does not want us to remain in our sin, but he sent Jesus so that we could be liberated from our sins and transformed, renewed, and restored into a proper relationship with him. And as we talked about, that's because of Jesus and his sacrifice. He gave himself as a sacrifice, dying on the cross on our behalf. And you guys need to be loud with this one, okay? Is Jesus still dead, though? Exactly. No, he's not. He rose again, and he promises us that we will do the same if we put our hope, faith, and trust in him. Which brings us to the final day of Art Camp, where Miss Jeanette taught us how he transforms us, how he sanctifies us and restores us into a right relationship with him. And she talked particularly about something called refining fire. Why? What's it about refining things? Do you remember how they refined silver? Does anybody remember? The impurity. Yes. So they would literally melt the metal so that they could scrape off the top all the dirt, the nastiness, the other metals and compounds. Because as Malachi 3:3 says, he... Who is he? God, Jesus. Yes, God, who is Jesus, will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So what does the silver, color silver mean again? Purity, strength. Yes, very good. It means purity. And why did silver need to be refined? It had impurities in it. Much like how we were created to be pure. We were created as God's children to be a reflection, an image, an imprint of him. To reveal him to the whole of all creation. But because of sin, all these impurities were added into our lives. And so we need to be purified. And it is through Jesus that we find that. And just like we have sinned and become impure ourselves, Malachi continues, he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. And this is exactly what God did. But not in the tent of meeting. In the tent of meeting, they had a fire, right? What was that fire for? It was for sacrifice. It was so that they could sacrifice what? Sheep, a lamb. A lamb without spot or blemish. Who is our lamb? A once and for all sacrifice, making atonement for our sins, past, present, and future. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John said best, John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why would God do this? Why would Jesus give his life for us? Because he loves us. Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He abolished, he erased, and cleansed us from all our sins. He purifies us and brings us back into a right relationship with him. And this is just the wonderful thing that we learned this past week at Art Camp. And that this is a free gift of God to all. Would we choose to receive it and receive him? He will do all the work and restore us to the image that he first created us to be in, bringing us out of the darkness of our sins and into his marvelous light. He'll help us live into the fullness of the uniqueness he made us in so that we can be pure. We who he created us to be in him. This is what we learned at Art Camp. And this gift is available to us all. It's always available. All you have to do is ask him and receive it. And there's always opportunity to do that. As always, our prayer room's open so that you can go and just be with God. These steps act as an altar. If you want someone to pray with you, pray over something that you're just struggling in, as well as your prayer cards in the back of your chairs, the connection cards. There's a place to put prayer requests. And if you are seeking to receive this gift and you just don't know how, Let us know. Let somebody know. Because if you want the gift of Jesus in your life, you need to tell somebody. Someone who will be joyfully walking with you, who will sit there to encourage you, to pray for you. It's important that we do this together. Because God didn't call an individual. He called forth a community. And it's beautiful what happens when God's people come together and work together to bring him glory, honor, and praise. This is what we learned at Art Camp this past week. And this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever.